Munoz?
Present.
Crawley? Absent. Sedaris?
Present.
Ayub?
Present.
And Bates is also absent tonight. All right, do we have any commissioner reports and announcements? Other than Happy New Year to everyone?
Yeah, Happy New Year to everyone. I'd like to pull A4 for highlights.
Okay, great. We'll do that when we get to
A4. When we get to A4, okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Anyone have any announcements thus far? I had two items. One was I just wanted to give everyone an update on some really great results in terms of donations that were made to the Morro Bay Community Foundation. As many of you know, the Morro Bay Community Foundation provides scholarships to youth in our area to allow them to go to and participate in sporting activities and after-school programs within the city of Morro Bay. It's a great nonprofit organization, and the year-end campaign, we just want to give a shout-out to all of you in the community for helping us to raise an additional $6,500 by year-end through an outreach campaign that we did at the end of 2010. So thank you, everyone, for your generosity in supporting this foundation. It allows us to make it more affordable for youth in our area. Held on March 25th. This is our 22nd annual Dixon Spaghetti Dinner. And again, it's a fundraiser for the to help raise funds for the Community Foundation. This is going to be Friday night, and it's going to be from 4:30 to 7 at the Morro Bay Community Center on Kennedy Way. The tickets this year are going to be $7 for children and seniors, $9 for adults, and $26 for a family of four and kids under six. Family of four and children six and under, it's free. Tickets will be $1 more at the door. So come out and join. It's always a lot of fun. We have a lot of great volunteers, and it's just a nice evening to bring our community together and to raise funds for youth scholarships. Any other?
Thank you, Chair Hale. I had one announcement just to piggyback on the spaghetti dinner. We were very fortunate to have a kids club program, and staff there presented the project of drawing up spaghetti dinner posters. So all the kids in Kids Club who wanted to participate did. Staff has brought to the commission this evening each grade level and all the entrants for each grade level, and we're letting people know. I'll be distributing them and putting up around town. So look forward to having the new poster coming out this year. Thank you.
Thanks. That's always a lot of fun, and there's some great artwork back there, so it'll be a tough contest this year, as always. Okay, let's move on to item A, public comment period. First off, do we have any members in the audience wishing to speak to the commission? Okay, looks like we do not have anyone that would like to speak, so we'll close public comment period and move on to item A, which is our consent calendar. So, commissioners, are there any items? We have A1, A2, A3, and A4 that you would like to pull for discussion this evening?
Yes, I'd like to pull A4 for highlights.
Okay, and A4 is our Recreation and Parks Department status report. So, Mr. Woods, if you can take us through the most meaningful updates that you think is most pertinent for this evening, that would be great.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Hale and Commissioner Sedaris. The status report is given to you at our regular meetings, reviewing various projects and programs that we have going on. Some major items to be recognized by the Commission and also the community at large. The department has successfully gone through the request for proposals for street sweeping, and we are looking to save approximately $14,000 a year with this contract. And also needs to be mentioned that the frequency in residential areas has doubled for the monthly service, and the contractor is obligated to remove the waste from the site and not pile it up at the city yard for us to deal with. So we have a couple of win-wins in there, not to mention significant savings. Again, that starts February the 8th. I believe it's the first full week Tuesday. Should be noted that the renovation at Lila Kaiser Park is still underway. Unfortunately, we had to cancel this year's adult co-ed soccer season because of the renovations on both Lila Kaiser East and West fields. Excuse me. The field renovation is part of an overall park renovation that we're still trying to secure full funding, but right now we have funding for the renovation of the fields, which we felt was most important. It's basically a removal of or scalping all the turf down and leveling it and getting rid of the gophers and hydro seeding. And right now we are the parks are hydro seeded, both east and the west. They are fenced off, major orange fencing around there. There is absolutely no late February for our softball and little league programs. Both programs are anticipating getting on the field as soon as possible, and we're going to try to hold them off as long as we can until the field's secure and ready for action. So major renovations on the ball field at Kaiser. Thanks everybody for their patience and support, and we are hopefully we'll be inviting the co-ed soccer group back in 2012. The last item I would want to bring up regarding the status report is the Rockies, the Morro Bay Teen Center. The skate park master plan is a concept that's been approved for several years now. The staff has been looking for funding. Remember last year we were unsuccessful in round one of the Prop 84 funds. This year we're on board. We've outsourced this particular task to Jan DeLeo. She is preparing our grant application for the state. We're looking at probably 5 months out. So we're anticipating the state to open up application processing late June, possibly in July. As a condition of the application, we need to update our information, and part of that's public outreach and doing public workshops. I put on the board an outline of some of the public workshops that we'll be having just to update the concept plan into requesting. And those workshops are scheduled to be at the Teen Center, which is 231 Atascadero Road, and they'll be beginning in February, Monday the 7th, Wednesday the 9th, and Thursday the 10th. So be looking for on the first full week in February, not only is your street sweeper going to be new, but we'll also have workshops in the evening for you to come out and participate in, whether it's parents or teens. Our first meeting, we're shooting for teens to come out and give us their input. February the 9th, we're looking for middle school and elementary schools students to come out, and their parents are certainly welcome. And then we have an at-large neighborhood and community members to come out on the Thursday the 10th. So for more information, please give us a call at the Recreation and Parks Department, 772-6278. And that concludes my highlights for this status report. Be open for any questions at this time.
Thank you, Joe, for that presentation. I'd just like to encourage the teens to and the middle and elementary school students to come on out and get your input, because this is your chance to, you know, get your ideas out there for the, you know, the new stuff that's going to come out for the teen center and stuff. So
how do we do that?
Thank you. What I've outlined here was a draft of our public workshops that we're going to be doing, because you can see some of the locations have been, you know, solidified, but we're going to be doing them at the teen center. We're going to be advertising through the schools with flyers. We'll probably be on our webpage. We'll certainly be sending out something to the newspaper as well. So we want a lot of activity, people to come out. And we have a concept plan that includes an in-ground skate park, an above-ground skate park that we have now, which is scheduled to be relocated, full-size basketball court, an amphitheater, as well as a classroom. Those ideas hopefully will move forward in some respect. Maybe they won't look like they are right now. Maybe the size will change and the location on the site will change. But we're hoping that the elements themselves stay valid and are supported by the community.
Very good.
Good stuff. Can I entertain a motion to accept A1 through A4 file?
So moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Moving on to item B, public hearings. We'll start with D1, review and approve the MOU for the Aquatic Center and recommend to City Council for approval.
Thank you, Chair Hale and Commission. Good evening again. This is by any means not any new business, but it's under new business because we haven't had anything that's been that's been out there needed to be concluded. But this is a review of the Memorandum of Understanding for the Aquatics Center. Back in 2008, the City Council resolved and supported the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation for their goal in providing an aquatic center in Morro Bay. So this has been a few years that we've had actually official support. In 2009, Council approved the allocation of $15,000 in park and loo funds to support Phase 2, which would enhance Phase 1, which is a feasibility study that was sponsored and conducted by the management of the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation and the pool at Morro Bay. There's also the Los Osos Pool Foundation. So if you know the history and the commission that's sitting now does, that we have three nonprofit organizations, community organizations that are out there. Since then, they have sometime, gosh, was late 2009 in October, or 2010, wasn't just recently, mm-hmm. we brought the final draft over to you to review. And basically, it was a study that was done through Raymond Turek and Associates saying that they're going to have, that the community that was surveyed would support one pool in the Estero Bay area, and that location would be in Morro Bay. So taking that information and the other incidental information that come with the study, the stakeholders continue to meet, even though I don't think many of us were getting tired of meeting because it was the same story over and over again. We're getting a little closer to what we wanted to get, which is a pool, but it was slow going. At our last stakeholders meeting, which was in December of 2010, we recognized a letter that the San Luis Coastal School District submitted to the Bruce Gibson's office. And that letter basically stated that this district would be interested in annexing part of their property at the Morro Elementary School for the development of an aquatic center. And everyone was very excited about that. I mean, really excited. So, hey, stakeholders, and we've come up with that MOU for your review tonight. Before I get into the quick review of the MOU, I'll just note that the $15,000 that's allocated for Phase 2, we are looking to put into play. I'll be meeting with the county. Actually, Pandora is what the Morro Bay, it's Los Osos Pool, and also the County Recreation and Parks Commission. And we'll be meeting with her and Jan DeLeo. Jan, is, if you recall, is the one writing our Prop 84 for the Teen Center. And she will also be working with us as stakeholders for the Aquatic Center grant. And we'll be looking to use our $15,000 in not only the design, but also in some consulting work to apply for at least $5 million, which that's the maximum, $5 million, in Prop 84 funds. And so we'll be looking to do some details on the contracts and gathering information within the next couple weeks. Actually, it's moving rather quickly. So as we look at this MOU, it's very general. It's very vague and it's loose. It is meant to do that, and it's meant to be presented to governing bodies, and it will be through the county and also the school district at the end of this month. Phase would be actually entering into a joint powers authority that would be responsible for this aquatic center. Not only the construction, but also the maintenance and the programming, everything else goes along with that type of facility. So I won't belabor reading the entire MOU to you, but I will skip forward to page 4 in the report, which is 2 on the MOU, and it states Morro Bay agrees to. And there are just two clauses that we've agreed to. And for the commissioner and those maybe at home would want to know that Morro Bay will provide and or coordinate 7 days per week, including most holidays, 12 months per year, programming and staffing for public access, which may include, but not limited to, morning, noon, and evening lap swim, aqua aerobic classes, swim lessons, baby and me classes, and so on, once the community aquatic center is operational. So we'll have a heavy role in after the construction as far as programming. The second paragraph on this agreement, we would agree to that. We would commit to provide a portion of the financial support needed for the second phase feasibility study and may provide a portion of financial support needed to maintain. Really, there'll be strong details and strong responsibilities outlined in a JPA. It goes on, it outlines the counties, what the county agrees to do, what the district agrees to do, and the foundation, which is the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, what they agreed to do. And the last portion of this agreement, 6, 7, and 8, are just some administrative-type clauses that keep the communication open and allow people to give notice to exit if they need to. So with that said, I'm asking for any other discussion that the commission would have, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions?
So, Joe, is this is this MOA, is it like a live document? I mean, or is this isn't like the permanent one, right? MOA? There could be changes later to it, modifications?
This memorandum of understanding is not going to be like that. No, this is what it is. This is a commitment from the stakeholders to move this program, the project, forward. We have to have an initial buy-in and commitment that had some tough challenges in the years previous to this. Opening up this new site at Moore Elementary has really given the program some hope. And I think that those who have been working on this thing diligently, I mean, I will mention Terry Brown, who was, gave 2 years of solid work, and that was her commitment, and she's since dropped out on a time restraint. But there are a lot of folks out here, and Karen Robert is in the audience. She's put in a lot of time into having an aquatic center or supporting an aquatic center, something to bring swimming to this community. And having an aquatic center like this here in Morro Bay would lend itself to not just the immediate area of the Estero Bay, but also any members of Cayucas or outlining residents of this county within, you know, a decent proximity, maybe even North San Luis Obispo. So I hope I answered your question.
No, you did. Thanks. And that $5 million that they would be applying for it. Oops, I'm sorry. The $5 million that they would be applying for, would that cover most of it, or is it like one of those where you got to meet half the grant? Or
it's a good question. Is $5 million enough, or is it too much?
Right,
I can't say this is going to be a $4 million project or 6.5. We haven't come up to that. We're close,
sure.
But we don't have a hard, firm number yet.
Yeah, because you can add takeaway as you go. So, okay.
Well, the maximum on this particular grant is $5 million.
Correct.
So we're looking to max out.
Correct, right. Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's there, let's use it. You bet. Okay, thanks.
Other, I don't know, what's protocol here? Questions?
Well, it not being a public hearing, the questions would
right,
have to come from
okay.
Commission. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So what other questions do we have?
I have none.
You have none?
No.
I had a question on, well, two questions, I guess. One is just in terms of intent. Let's assume a pool is built. Is it between the district and Morro Bay as the primary parties responsible to maintain and operate the pool?
That's true. That's how we have this out. The MOU is outlined that way. And that may change as we get into the JPA, but I don't think it's going to change dramatically. I don't think the county wants to get in too involved in the details of the operation. But the school district would have more.
So I just look like this detail about item two, Morro Bay agrees as follows, and item A is Morro Bay will provide and coordinate 7 days per week. So it sounds like there was probably some discussion around this has to be a 7 day a week facility. I mean, you just think back and you look at what happened at Cuesta Pool and other pools where they really limited, because of budget cuts, availability of that pool to the public and, you know, to students of the school and so on. Was there a real push to make sure this was firmly committed to, or what was the thinking around getting this specific on this point where other stuff is pretty vague?
I think that as we discussed this, the expectations were that it would be open as much as possible. And when we're looking for grant funds, we want to make sure that we're not constraining the community from the use of a pool that's been granted. So if we're not going to be open on the weekends, then probably wouldn't be as desirable of a project to fund than if I'm looking at a project that is 7 days a week, most holidays. And most likely, that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, it may not be 24 hours, 7 days a week. I can't see that. But I can certainly see 7 days a week of the community. So I would imagine that with the use on and off from various groups, it's going to hit 7 days a week. And it's better to go into that with that premise as opposed to going, oh, yeah, we need a couple more days. So there's a lot of details that go into the Prop 84 application that you would go, how do I know? How many, what kind of program, how much is it going to cost, what's the target audience, and how am I going to advertise to them? So there's a lot of brainstorming and paperwork involved to submit the application. That's what we third-party did. But I think that this gives us an opportunity to say, hey, we're looking for maximum points on the application and maximum use from the community.
Sounds good.
Good, yeah.
It's exciting. It's really exciting that a site's been identified. That's a big step forward.
It's monumental right now for this project. So we think that the site is good. We checked zoning, and through public services has confirmed that it is the zoning would allow for an aquatic center at that location. It just seems initially that Shasta would extend into that lot as an extended parking lot, and we'd have supplemental at our place and across the way, and it just seems like a good fit up there. It's not ideal for a swim team from the high school because...
And I think the high school can manage to get kids over there. 7 days a week, though, that's not... Are most pools, public pools, or whatever you want to call them, are they run 7 days?
It depends on the type of a pool. If it's a year-round pool, most likely. Some of them are inside, and they can go 7 days a week. Take the 7 days. You get the Monday through Friday. You're going to have core instructions. You're going to have district usage. You're going to have lap swimming and probably some kind of a therapeutic, if you're set up at that point to have a therapeutic program. That leaves you with Saturday and Sunday, just 2 days to fill. Saturday's a pretty easy day to be getting kids to the pool or having swim lessons or scuba lessons or kayak, canoe. I mean, there's a lot of different activities. You don't necessarily have to swim laps in a pool to have it functional. So we can have other activities. Then that leaves Sunday. And an afternoon swim on Sunday or a special outside use fills your 7 days. Some other concepts that we float around and I would throw out there would be more of not just to come and use the pool at no charge by showing a membership card, and now they would pay an annual fee to allow that to happen. And the same kind of concept could be applied to other hotelers, that if you have a nice hotel or any kind of hotel and you want it, and you don't have a pool and you want to advertise an aquatic center that comes with your stay, you show your hotel key and you're in. Well, there's a monthly or an annual fee for that agent, for that company to buy into it. And that would be part of a money or revenue stream that would help support this aquatic center, which are so heavily subsidized. So we would want to get some different creative revenue streams coming in so we're not in a bind, so we're well above the projected 50, 60 cents on the dollar return. And so those things change as we develop sustainability within the project, as we develop revenue enhancing streams that would come in and help us out. So there's several ways to attack it, reducing the fixed expenses from the very beginning and then looking for creative revenue sources to sustain this thing into the future. So there's several moving parts that we want to address, but I think the 7 days a week is certainly pertinent for us to be capitalizing on the community.
7 days a week, that would bring a lot of revenue to come in.
We would hope so, and like I said, they're just ideas. I would imagine the stakeholders to the JPA would have some kind of a mechanism and a procedure and to attract and some incentives for those who want to participate.
Thank you.
I have another question. Has there been any discussion, or do you think there might be, could be, like renting a portion out? I'm thinking mainly like if you have like a little league team or something that maybe they're going to present their trophies and they want to have a little swim party for the kids and give them rewards.
First, we would direct it over to the teen center, which is available for $300 for a 3-hour rental.
But where the pool is.
We would want to consider that as an option. There are several things that go along with them. Sometimes that outside rental is cost prohibitive because there are mandates for lifeguards and there's opening the door costs. So if it's incorporated in operating hours already, there'd probably be a chance. But it's something that we would want to look at and would never dismiss any opportunities for use and revenue.
Yeah, because you never know, it may come up. So,
good, thank you.
We see.
Yes, I'd like to recommend that we forward it as is to the City Council for approval.
So that's a motion?
Yes.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Moving on to D2, Rec and Parks Commission meeting date. Exciting. Sorry.
I know you're looking at me. It's very exciting. Thank you, Chair Hale, Commission. This item was brought to you about a year ago. I looked at my minutes, and I think we discussed this January 2010. And here we are. So what's happened is the City Council has changed their regular meeting. They are now meeting on the second and fourth Tuesday, which bumped us. The fourth Tuesday was ours. So we understood the importance of City Council, so we're willing to amend our schedule to accommodate that. And you know you can't change your own schedule, that it has to be approved by City Council. So what staff has done is what we've done in the past is look at what's the most opportune spot, time, location, day. And you can see we've bounced all over the place, but back in 19 and would also be preceded if the council was to move PWAB to the third Thursday as well. Note that there is a staff report that is in front of City Council for their review on Tuesday, the 25th, which is next Tuesday. That recommendation not only changes the date of the meeting, but also the frequency. Council will be reviewing the frequency in which the RPC and PWAB meet. Right now it's monthly. And they would be looking and discussing and approving your changing your frequency to once every other month. That would put PWAB on the even months on the third Tuesday, and we'll put the RPC on the odd months on the third Thursday. So we would have community promotions and TBIT in the morning, and then every other month it would either be PWAB at 5:30 or 6, and then it would be RPC at 5:30. So, the recommendation, there's also an opportunity for you to move the meeting back to the first Thursday at 5, which precedes the Harbor Advisory that starts at 7. And so that would be a time change. We moved from 5 to 5:30 to accommodate work schedules, and that would be a move back to a 5.
Great. So, in terms of dates, do folks feel like the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 works?
Works for me.
Works.
I think that would work better because it's kind of it'd be hard for me, and I don't know for some of the others to meet here by 5. Plus, you know, you got the time. That would give us maybe an hour, a little more, to do our agenda, which Joe would have to make sure that's an hour agenda. So it'd probably be easier.
How does that work for you?
Third Thursday at 5:30.
Third Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do anything.
Okay. All right, so it sounds like we're in agreement that the third mm-hmm. Thursday at 5:30 works fine for everyone. And then the second topic was our sentiments about having this be an every other month meeting. Just, you know, get a sense of the trade-offs for that and just, you know, most likely means a heftier agenda every other month than sort of our light, heavy, light type agenda that I think has been sort of, you know, our pattern for the past mm-hmm. while. So what are folks' thoughts on that?
Will there be more proposals if we have it every other month?
Mm-hmm.
Or it will be, huh?
And we can also, if we, you know, because one of the factors is there's time, you know, time lag between. I mean, 2 months can be a long time if we want to get stuff done, right? So we can always cut, correct?
Absolutely correct, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds fine. It's, if staff think that that's good and the rest of the commission thinks every other month is good, as long as we leave it open, like Chair Hale says, to call a special meeting to order. That's great. We don't want to, you know, fill up, if we feel, you know, if staff feels that the agenda is going to be too big coming up, then yeah, we'll call another meeting.
What other meetings do they have here on Thursday? Just the, it would be just Parks and Recs every other month? And
actually, if I may, Chair Amy, the meeting schedule would go, if council acts and approves the change of the planning commission to the first and third Wednesday, then our staff would set up that Wednesday night meeting. The setup would stay for Thursday morning, provided it's the third Thursday. I think there's like one Thursday it's not. So now in the morning, and we have T-Bid followed by community promotions, two meetings. Today they ran past 12 o'clock, closer to 12:30, I think it was. Once those programs end, then it's the, remember, it's still the third Thursday, and that evening it's either going to be Recreation Parks Commission or Public Works Advisory Board. So what we've done here is staff would try to keep those agendas manageable, understanding that a lot of these are advisory issues that mostly aren't time sensitive, and we would try not to stack up too much, particularly multiple public hearings on one particular evening. So we'll be very sensitive in the size of the agenda. Most of the thickness of the packet will come in your consent, which is usually passed once it's read to you prior to the meeting. And I would make one more mention, please, Chair, if I could, that I did speak with Commissioner Bates this evening. He expressed his support to the meeting change to the third Thursday at 5:30, as well as the every other month frequency. Thank you.
Okay. So can I... Does anyone want to make a motion to make a recommendation to City Council in support of the new meeting date and the frequency?
The recommendation would be that the Commission recommends to staff to forward to City Council that we move our meeting to the third Thursday of the month at 5:30, and also move our meetings to every other month.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Moving on to D3, Slow Capra Commissioner's Workshop at Hearst Castle.
Thank you, Chair Hale. This is a Slow Capra Workshop, San Luis Obispo County Association of Parks and Recreation Administrators, which I am involved in, have been since I've been the director. We have a workshop that we put on at Hearst Castle every year for commissioners, and this year is entitled Building Better Connections. And it's advocating for parks, trails, and open space. And you'll realize and you know that all commissioners are advocates for recreation and parks, and particularly open space. This particular workshop is at the castle, February the 26th. We have more details that are outlined as far as the program. Two topics that we'll be presenting, a panel discussion with local city councilmen and county supervisors, as well as the Juan Bautista De Anza Trail with Stephen Ross from the National Parks Service will be providing. And then after that, we have a box lunch, and we usually tour the elephant seals along the Coast Trail. And we've got a terrific guide who is the superintendent there, Nick Franco, does a wonderful job. And if it's rainy or inclement, he usually has a backup plan of some kind of a special tour of the castle. I would be looking for your participation in this event this year. The cost of the event will be covered through our department budget, so you won't have to worry about any out-of-pocket other than getting up there and be obviously willing to carpool. So given that, I'd turn it back to the commission chair for discussion, if there is any. And happy to answer any questions as well.
What's the final date you need to know by, Joe, if we're attending?
I would love to get something back within the next week.
Next week, okay.
To our program chair.
Would it be like the 27th or 28th?
That'd be fine, sure, next week. If it was, you know, sometime during January, first week in February, if you had trouble nailing down your schedule, but if it looks wide open for you and looks like a go ahead and give us a call. Let me know after the meeting, or you can call our department and put your name with Barbara, and then she'll put you on the list.
Okay, any questions?
No.
All right. Let's move on to D4, Rec and Parks Department Program Evaluations.
Thank you, Chair Hale and Commission. Last item for the night is program evaluations. This is a big one, the annual holiday tree lighting. We always break this down with the fiscal impact. Just to let you know, this family-oriented community event is unfortunately rained out this year. Didn't happen. Rain does cancel. There's no alternative date that we had. The celebration would have been hosted by the then Mayor Janice Peters, and hopefully this next year we'll have our newly elected Mayor Bill Yates, if he's available. And we had Pacific Dance Center students by Karen Garman. We had the high school chamber choir led by Colleen Wall, all scheduled to appear. So I just wanted to give a thanks to those organizations and coordinators for their efforts. And Santa Claus and his Merry Elves were going to be arriving, but they also were deterred to another celebration. And hopefully the community enjoyed the holiday tree at City Park being lit throughout the holiday seasons. And I just want to make a mention of the Morro Bay seniors who donated, and some department staff as well, donated over 24 dozen homemade cookies. So we had a baker's call out there, and it really came through and landed 24 dozen. Since we did not have the program, it was rained out. I'll let you know, all those cookies that were made were donated to the Prado Day Center and also the Morro Bay Meals on Wheels. So all those bakers out there, thanks again, and your cookies were enjoyed. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions? All right.
No. Wait, I have one.
Sure.
I think I brought up a few years ago, I think even when Andrea was our director, the lights on the tree, is there, you know, I had asked, I don't know if she wanted some of us to contribute or something, but to put some different colored lights, because, you know, the dark blues and purples seem kind of dark theme to the tree. I don't know.
We were not shooting for the gothic look with our holiday tree, but thank you. As I understand it, those were multicolored strings of LED lamps. So maybe some of and I thought they were fairly bright, so we would look into the colored strings again if the purples and blues weren't being illuminated as brightly as the others. But we were it's a major cost savings to go to the LED lights. They're very efficient. And we're hoping that a multicolors appeal to a more majority of the community as opposed to just one color lights. But I thank you for your observation.
Thank you, Joe.
Grinch over here. No, I'm kidding. All right, moving on to item E, declaration of.
May I bring it back to accept this?
Oh, sure. Thank
file,
you.
Please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion to accept D4 for file.
Second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, moving on. Item D, declaration of future agenda items.
I have none.
Okay. So in March, would we look to, I mean, one agenda item I think would be bringing back the, any status on the pool MOU, just to notify the community of where that sits. I mean, I think that's obviously a huge topic of interest to everyone, and tonight was a big update, which was great. One topic I had that I wanted to bring up for a future agenda item is a concept of, and this is in light of all the rain we had during the holiday season and the fact that, you know, the staffing for maintenance, you know, is very, very tight for you and managing the city staff in terms of keeping our roads clean and debris off the ground and things mowed and trimmed and so on. One we have the adopt a park concept where businesses can adopt a park and have their name plaque on and so on. And one of the thoughts that I thought would be interesting to explore is the idea of adopt a I don't know what the right terminology would be, but adopt a part of our landscape that tends to get highly damaged during a rainy season. So I'll give two examples that I'm aware of through my traversing around town. One is on the bike path when you're getting close to coming from North Morro Bay and you're going by pretty much by the power plant. I mean, you know, the bike path where the power plant is directly to your west, and you've just passed Lila Kaiser. And that particular, there's an area there that gets extraordinarily seeped in water and mud and debris when rains come. And I, you know, it's always a nerve-wracking experience to run by there or try to ride a bike through there. Often you can't. You actually need to physically turn around. And, you know, I think I've just anecdotally people, you know, sort of falling on their bike or running, you know, trying to get through there. It's a dangerous area, and it's one that tends to be inundated during, again, a rainy season. Another example is out for folks that walk out in Cloisters and go out to the beach. Always invariably with our lovely northwesterly winds, that sand gets blown over and ends up in a case where the sand is blocking the pathway. So someone in a wheelchair, for example, or a child riding on a bike, it's a little, you know, a little difficult to get to the lookout area. And those are just two examples of areas. I'm sure every one of us could name maybe an area where, you know, I know obviously at the park, Delmar Park, for example, there's areas there that kind of get flooded and so on. So to the point, wondering if we might consider something like an adopt a area concept where either a group of neighbors or a business or whatever could be responsible in the case when, we have a flood, someone's going out and saying, I'm going to be responsible for that bike path and do my best to go out and shovel mud and get it off the road. You know, nothing highly formal, but a way to help the city staff, who is obviously, when there's a, you know, rainy, wet season, are probably off dealing with, you know, trees down or other big topics or other big priorities, mm-hmm. but allow some other folks to basically step in and help keep some of these areas better maintained or cleaned up or cleared up a little bit during those types of, you know, during a winter season.
The observation area that you were talking about in back of the Cloisters, it's no longer there. I walked out there the other day, and it's all the concrete they had put on there, all the seating area, that's all gone.
I guess I haven't walked out to the view area lately.
It's, you know, and Delmar Park, wonderful, but there's a lot of trees that fell down this year, and I think some of the fence was damaged, the chevron. So things like that would be hard to, you know, keep up.
Sure.
I tell you, staff could come back with a report at your next meeting identifying some of the areas that you've talked about, even though the bike path has been long talked about ever since it was built. I think flooded the first year, and it hasn't stopped yet. And it's also on your correspondence from the bike committee. Some of the unmet bike needs identifies the need to raise that bike path up and mm-hmm. maybe culvert and let the water run through, because it's a little seasonal creek right there. And it's a difficult when it drops a lot of sediment on there. We understand that situation. And there may be some other ones that are maybe not as large in scale, but enough to be a nuisance for a community or a resident in a neighborhood, that they could possibly band together and do that work. We would want to identify those areas. We want to set up some protocol that if you were going to be joining a force to help out, kind of like a volunteer, you know, yeah. fireman brigade, that you would have a register with us as a volunteer. So we expect that would be some of our protocols. So we would cover any liabilities while they were on city properties doing city-type work. And then we'd want to identify these areas and the scope and the frequency, and maybe, you know, talk with some of the communities, see what they would come up with. So I think first to identify where they're at and what kind of scope, because some folks, as Commissioner A, you would say, wow, they're big projects, and I'm just a little retired person, whatever gender, and I'm not capable of that. But there may be something that maybe going out in front of your place and pulling out some debris on a storm drain and letting it flow will eliminate flooding. and you've got that commitment. So yeah, I think there's certainly worthy of a conversation, discussion at our next meeting.
Sounds good.
And as far as the status of the pool, we would certainly want to bring that back to you. I've been trying to be more diligent about things that you recommend to council and coming back with their actions. So we're going to try to keep that line of communication. It's not, probably not a huge item for a commissioner to follow up. Staff will be able to present this, but I certainly would want an obligation to come back to you and report on the findings. So I appreciate your diligence in bringing that on our future agenda item.
Anything else?
No.
All right. So can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Meeting is adjourned.
Adjourned.
Thank you. And commissioners, just one thing that you want to make sure you take time to vote for the spaghetti dinner poster, if you haven't already, and we'll go from there.